Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 16. Let's all stand. We'll read this one verse. I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now let's read it together. Ready? For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now I'm going to preach on this subject, the Apostle Peter's life verse. The Apostle Peter's life verse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the opportunity just to be here today. Lord, your grace is so abundant to each and every one of us. And Lord, we're going to talk about that, the mercy and the patience, the long-suffering of Almighty God. And Lord, I can stand in the pulpit and say those things and know that I represent you, Lord, properly and completely in this area of your compassion and grace. And thank you, Lord, for being patient with us. And Lord, we ask, dear God, that this may encourage some heart here today that maybe has fallen a few times and Satan's tempting them just to throw in the towel. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the courage to get back up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Those of you that laughed know your Bible a little bit. You know the verses, the stories, and the reputation of the Apostle Peter. Now, I will tell you this. Say what you want. He's my favorite disciple. He really is. I'd like to think that I could relate best to that great missionary theologian, the Apostle Paul. But I will tell you that when I look at Paul and what he accomplished in his temperament and his personality, and Peter, I fall probably on the scale a little closer to this side over here by Peter than I do towards Paul. I think of the great men of the book of Acts, Apollos, and his eloquency and his ability to go into towns and cities and just mesmerize people with his speech. And then I think of Peter, who had a hard time talking most of the time because usually he had one or two of his feet in his mouth. And as I compare myself to these two men, I again seem to find myself over here maybe a little closer to Peter than to Apollos. And other men of the Bible we could talk about. But I think that all of us have a kind of a soft spot in our heart for the Apostle Peter, because all of us, as much as we'd like to laugh at some of the things he said or shake our heads at some of the things he did, you know what? It's refreshing to see that I think, first of all, he was just real. He was just who he was. And also, it gives us courage and it gives us encouragement, because if God can take someone like Peter and use him, maybe we've got a chance that God would be able to use us also. Well, why in the world did you say that this was the Apostle Peter's life verse, Brother Jerry? Is there a part of the Bible that we're not aware of? Or maybe did you find Peter's Bible and in the back somewhere it was written, Peter's life verse? Well, I'm sure if Peter had a Bible, and I'm sure he had the Old Testament, I'm sure if he had one, the Catholics have it and are probably worshiping it. All right, so we don't have probably opportunity to get that and look at it. But I think that this is Apostle Peter's life verse, because I had this thought in my mind the other day when I was reading through Proverbs, and I came across this verse, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I instantly thought, wait a minute, you know what? There's very seldom a place in the Bible where God gives us a principle where we cannot find in the Bible a Bible character or illustration or story that would illustrate that principle. So I all of a sudden stopped and thought to myself, now understand, Peter hadn't come to mind yet, but I just stopped after reading this verse and said, okay, fall seven times. Where is that illustrated in the Bible? And it didn't take very long for Peter's name to pop front and center into my mind. So I went to my concordance and I just had a fun time reading about the life of Peter. And I looked at every place where Peter's name was mentioned or a story about Peter or something that Peter said. And I listed, and we'll just cover these in introduction. I listed Peter's seven falls. Now, I stopped at seven, I'll admit. I think I probably could have given you 9 or 10 or 11 of them. But let me just say this. We won't count Peter's if you promise not to count mine, all right? And if we promise not to count yours. Let's just not get too much in the counting business when it comes to looking at how much someone else fell, because I imagine about the time we start laughing at someone else for falling, if we do a thorough examination of our lives, we'd probably find that maybe we have the record, okay? Where did Peter? Did Peter fall some, Brother Jerry? Yeah, he sure did. Peter fell flat, Matthew chapter 14, while walking on the water. He fell flat while walking on the water. Now, what you know the story, so we won't go there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 through 31. Jesus comes walking across the water and was going to pass by the boat, and they realized who it was. And boy, they were all afraid. And then Jesus made himself known, and Peter requested that he could come onto the water to Jesus. And that's Peter. That's him in a nutshell. I think the rest of them were holding onto the boat and just praying to live through this night and scared half out of their mind. Who in the world at that moment in time would have had a thought of, let me go out there on this water and walk to you, Jesus? But that was Peter. And so Peter just, I think, he was scared, and I think he was discomforted and fearful because of the situation. But after he got past all those initial reactions, his next thought was, that looks cool. I wonder if God will let me do that. So he just asked Jesus, hey, can I come to you on the water? And Jesus said, come on. And so Peter stepped out on that water, and the Bible says, by the way, that he walked towards Jesus. He did. Listen, you can laugh at him all you want to, but you know what? Besides Jesus Christ, there's never been another, and I know Jesus was the God-man, but there's never been a human being in all the history of the world except Jesus that walked on the water, except Peter. And so he did it. But the Bible says after he got partway there, he started looking, he took his eyes off Jesus, started looking around at the waves and the boisterous sea, and he began to sink, and he cried out, help me, Lord! And boy, Jesus was there in a heartbeat and picked him up and pulled him up and got him back to the boat. But there's one of those times where Peter fell flat on his face. Number two, Peter fell flat when he rebuked Jesus Christ. By the way, this is an interesting story. Let me have you peek over at this one, okay? Matthew chapter number 16. Let's get over in the Gospels because we're going to spend most of the rest of our time there. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 21. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 21. And it says in that verse, from that time forth began Jesus to show, notice this, unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And finally, he got to the disciples to the point where I think they were waiting for Jesus to set up the kingdom. They thought he was their Messiah's here. They didn't understand Jesus had come this time as the lamb to be slain. There will be a day, folks, where he'll come as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he came as the lamb to be slain, and they didn't understand it. So finally, he had to set them down. Listen, guys, I need to explain something to you. This is what's going to happen. I want to let you know in advance. I must go to Jerusalem. I will be turned over to the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. I will be killed, but I will rise again the third day. And boy, this upset Peter. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, that's always interesting when somebody uses the word Lord in a sentence where they're refusing to let Jesus be Lord. I think we do that sometimes too. Can you imagine? You say, Brother Jerry, oh my goodness sakes, this is Peter again. Who would step up and say something like that to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me introduce you to the Apostle Peter. That's him. And so while the rest of them are listening and in awe and in wonderment, Peter stands up, puts his foot down, stomps real hard, puts a finger underneath Christ's nose and says, this isn't going to happen. And Jesus' response, I kind of like it, in verse number 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Does that say Satan? It sure does. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. By the way, was Peter a Satan? No, but Peter was being used and influenced and used by Satan at that moment because he was encouraging Christ not to do what he'd come to earth to do. Are you listening? Are you getting that? By the way, there's a lesson to be learned there, folks. We've got to be very careful the advice we give to other brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, good Christian people sometimes are used of Satan. You've got to be very careful counseling someone against doing what God is calling them to do or telling them to do. Listen, let's stop trying to talk our young people out of full-time service. Let's stop trying to talk them out of the mission field. Let's stop trying to discourage them. You could be in the process of being used of Satan if you're not careful there. And here's Peter, the Apostle Peter. He stands up and puts his finger under Jesus' face and says, "No way, bud, this isn't going to happen." And guess what? He rebuked Christ, and there he went. Number two, fell flat on his face, and Jesus had to turn around and rebuke him. John chapter 13, let's go there. John chapter number 13, we see the third place where we see Peter take a little stumble, take a little fall. Apostle Peter, in John chapter 13, we have the story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Verse number 3 of John 13 says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter." How many of you already suspect that something's going to happen? All right, this isn't going to go as normal with the other ones. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash not thee, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head," which is again classic Apostle Peter. At first it was, "You're not going to wash my feet. No way you're going to do it. Well, if I don't wash you, I'm not part of you. Then give me a whole bath." And then Jesus had to say in verse number 10, "Jesus said, He that is washed needeth not to save wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Ye are clean, but not all." And what he was trying to do, it's like, you know, when I get this feeling when he came up to him in verse number 6, and it says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him," I have a feeling that maybe this first time he said it kind of low, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" And I think Jesus kind of leaned over and said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." I think it was kind of like Jesus was trying to keep him from doing it one more time. And, you know, listen, you're not, I know you don't understand this, but just let it go. And immediately here's Peter, steps back, stomps his foot. "You're not going to wash my feet." There he is, blabbermouth in front of everybody. He's going to make a fool of himself again. And so next thing you know, Jesus said, "Okay, fine. You won't let me wash your feet? You have no part of me." "Well, then wash all of me." "Listen, I'm trying to teach you something. Will you listen to what I'm saying?" And he's like, "Just let me do what I was going to do, because there's a biblical truth, a biblical principle I'm trying to teach you. And by the way, if you have been washed clean, then you don't have to be washed clean all over again, but you do have to have your feet washed pretty often. And what that's teaching is once you're saved, you're always saved. But you know what, folks? Even the best Christians that walk through this world has a little bit of the world cling to their feet. And we've got to constantly go to the Word of God and let the Word of God wash us clean. Go to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness for our daily sins. And so there's Peter fell and making a fool of himself again and falling flat on his face and saying something that embarrassed himself again. In Matthew chapter 26, let's go back there again. Matthew chapter 26, we see the fourth time he fell flat on his face. Number one, he fell flat while walking on the water. Number two, he fell flat by rebuking Christ. Number three, he fell flat by refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet. Number four, he fell flat by falling asleep in the garden. Matthew chapter 26, he fell asleep on duty. And Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36. Let me just read a few verses. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." That was the instruction. Please watch with me. Pray with me. Stay with me here. Verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples," verse 40, "and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Here he was in a prayer meeting with Jesus. Prayer meeting with Jesus. Fell asleep. Right in the middle of a prayer meeting with Jesus. Fell asleep. He said, "Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" Then we see in John chapter 18, let's go over there. I want to show you this. John chapter 18, we see the fifth time that Peter kind of fell flat on his face. Is anybody relating to Peter yet? Anybody feel like, "Brother Jerry, I'm just glad God didn't write my life story down or my Christian experiences"? And I feel that way. John chapter number 18 and verse number 11, we see that he fell flat on his face by chopping off the ear of a servant. John chapter number 18, look if you will in verse number 11. Of course, we have the story in verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And by the way, this was when they came to arrest Jesus. And Peter grabbed the sword and decided he was going to defend Christ. And so he chops the ear of the servant off. Verse number 11, then Jesus saith unto Peter. You know, I wonder how many times that little phrase is found. Then Jesus saith unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And you know what? He had to rebuke him again. Here Peter thought he was doing something right and did the wrong thing again. Fell flat on his face in front of everybody. Not only did Jesus not condone his actions, but the Bible says he reached down and took that ear and healed that man. So here what Peter was trying to do, Jesus had to undo. So once again, Peter sitting there, I think, rather embarrassed. Fell flat on his face again. Number 6, he fell flat on his face. You know this story, by denying Jesus Christ 3 times. John chapter 26, it was predicted that he would do it. It was predicted. Let's read that, all right? Matthew chapter 26. I got you going back to Matthew, John. Matthew chapter 26. Look, if you will, in verse number 33. Matthew chapter 26. And verse number 33. This is classic Peter. Here we go. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Isn't that interesting? But what we find out is before the chapter is ended, flip over, if you will, to verse number 69. Now Peter sat out in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear. Oh, my goodness sakes, cursing and swearing, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Boy, he fell right flat on his face again. And then we have in John chapter 21. Let's go back to John one more time. John chapter 21. We have the 7th time, and again, I might have been able to find a couple more. We got the 7th time where we find Peter falling flat on his face. John chapter 21, this is after the crucifixion and after the burial and after the resurrection and after Jesus had appeared to them, given them specific instructions as far as what to do. And here we find there's a little time span where Christ does not appear, and Peter gets discouraged and quits the ministry. He quit the ministry. John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. My goodness sakes. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Brother Jerry, tell me about this apostle Peter. Listen, whether you're a veteran Christian and you know the Bible and all these stories are review, or whether this is brand new for you, we're getting an introduction into the type of person that Peter was. Here's a man that I think for the most part tried, but you know what? Time after time after time after time again, he just fell flat on his face, fell flat on his face, always having to pick himself up, fell flat on his face, went to walk on the water. And wow, for a little while, everybody, ooh, oh, wow. But you know what? Fell flat on his face. Jesus Christ trying to explain that he had to die on the cross, and Peter stands up thinking he's doing the right thing and embarrasses himself, falls flat on his face again. He refuses to allow Christ to wash his feet. Jesus is trying to, I think, keep him from embarrassing himself, but he just does it anyway. Again, humiliates himself in front of all the disciples. He fell flat on his face by falling asleep in the garden when Jesus needed people to pray the most with him, when he was the most brokenhearted, when he wanted a little human comfort. The 3 men that he thought he could count on, Peter being the lead guy, fell asleep there and wasn't there when Christ needed him. fell flat on his face when instead of accepting what Jesus was going to do, he decided to try to take it over in the flesh and pull a sword out and prevent what God wanted to happen. Number six, he fell on his face by denying Jesus Christ three times. Then he fell again. John chapter 21, and Jesus had to come one more time and get him. Lovest thou me, lovest thou me, lovest thou me. Now let me just share a few things with you. Before you're too hard on the Apostle Peter, let me just say a few things in his defense. One of the things I like about Peter is, sure, he fell a lot and he failed a lot, but you know what? He usually fell while he was trying. He usually fell when he was trying. Let me just encourage you, because I think, folks, a lot of times we hold back and we don't step out and try to do something for the Lord because we're so afraid of failing that it handcuffs us and keeps us from doing everything that we should do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes a fear of failure keeps us from doing anything. But I've got to give Peter this much. You can point your finger and count seven and pass seven and talk about him all day long, but you know what? He had the gumption to get out and try to do something. You know what? I'm for the guy. Yeah. All right. You say, Brother Jerry, I got to come talk. Brother Jerry, I got to talk to you. So-and-so did this. So-and-so. Let me tell you something. I know people fail. And I know people don't always do some things right. But listen, I'd rather have a guy try and fail than somebody sit there and never try anything. I mean, the one thing about failing is you can't fail if you don't try. And I think that's some people's formula for never failing is just never trying anything. But in the Christian life, God is always daring us to try something else. God's always challenging us to go to the next level. God's always encouraging our hearts to go beyond what we think we can do and go beyond what we think we can be. And you know what? In the process of trying to grow in grace, I'm just telling you, folks, you're going to fall sometimes, but at least Peter was trying when he fell. Number two, the second thing I like about Peter was this. I think Peter learned a lesson from every failure. I think he learned a lesson from every failure. I think he did. By the way, you'll see all of this when we get to the end of the message. This accumulates. Peter tried to learn a lesson from every failure. You know what he learned when he was on the water? You better keep your eyes on Jesus and not look at the world and the circumstances, because if you do, you're going to start sinking. I think he just took that little bit of knowledge, stuck in the back of his mind, and you know what? In the future, it was going to serve him well. I think when he rebuked Christ, he learned a little something. He learned the reason that Jesus came, and he understood that there's some things you just have to let be, and sometimes God's will and your will is not going to be the same. But you just need to accept what God wants, even if it's not exactly what you would want. I think when he fell flat on his face by refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, I think out of that experience, Peter learned to be a servant. Spent the rest of his life going around trying to wash people's feet and try to be a blessing to them. He learned the lesson. I think when he fell asleep in the garden, I think that haunted him the rest of his life. But I'll tell you what, I think if you go to the upper room after Jesus has died, buried, rose again, and then ascended to heaven, the big 10-day prayer meeting, guess who was leading that prayer meeting? A guy by the name of Peter. I think he learned some lessons, you see. Folks, listen to me. It's one thing to fail. And listen, everyone's going to do it, but learn a lesson when you fail. Learn a lesson. You know, you'll learn more in failure than you will in success. Are you listening to me, young people? That's just the honest truth. You will learn more in the midst of failure than you ever will in the midst of success. You know, we talk about this, and we were talking down at the camp, and I don't know how it gets brought up. Sometimes this week when I was preaching at the camp, some of the guys around, sometimes out of the blue, the subject of deer hunting will come up. And I don't know how it happens. I never can remember exactly who brings it up, but deer hunting will come up. And usually they'll ignore me the first several times I bring it up, but I'm persistent, amen, and I'll get them talking about deer hunting. And Brother Mike Graber had just killed his first deer with a bow, and we were talking about that. And he was telling me he'd been going for 4 years trying to kill a deer with a bow. And I said, you know what, that's interesting. That's exactly the number of years I had to go bow hunting before I killed my first deer with a bow. And we started trading off our disaster stories, our horror stories, our failure stories. I think between me and him, we have figured out a way not to get a deer, just about any way you could possibly not get a deer. And he was telling me he pulled back one time and his arrow, some of you guys have had this, his arrow fell off his notch, and he had a buck right there, and it fell off the little arrow rest and clanked against his, boy, that deer took off. I said, man, one time I walked across the field before dark, and it was a little, had rained a little bit, and instead of staying in the grass, I walked across the field, took a shortcut, got mud all over my boots, and climbed up my deer stand and sat up there for about 3 hours. And finally a deer came through, and so I got up and shifted around. And guess what? All that mud that had gotten in my boots had dried, and as soon as I adjusted myself, all of that dirt fell out of my boots and went on the ground below. Boom, there goes the deer. And we just sat there for about 10 minutes telling of all the ways not to get a deer. Matter of fact, we're going to write a book. We are. We're going to get together, and we're going to write a book on how not to kill a deer and all the different ways you can mess it. Listen, let me tell you something. That's going to happen. But you know what? He got a buck. You know why he got a buck? Because every time he messed up, he put a little thing in the back of his mind, and he learned a little bit about what not to do and something to do differently. And you know what? Every time I messed up, I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do that differently, or I'm not going to do that next time, or I need to change this. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. That's how life is. That is a lot how life is. And all of us just, you know what, we go out and we do the best we can. And yes, we've got some Bible principles, and we've got some things we ought to listen to, and it'll save us a lot of heartache. But sometime in the carrying out of the details of whatever God's called us to do, you know what, there's just some things that we're going to have to learn by messing up. But I like Peter because I think whenever he messed up, he learned a lesson. Yeah, did he learn anything by denying Jesus Christ 3 times? I think he did, because it wasn't but a few chapters later that he was saying 3 times, yes, I love thee, yes, I love thee, yes, I love thee. And by the way, he proved it by giving his life later on. He was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. When he quit the ministry, did he learn anything? I think he did, because you know what? When he got restarted, he never stopped again. You see, young people, listen, I don't want you to get discouraged. I'm talking about somebody in this room that's discouraged a little bit today. I'm talking about, you say, Brother Jerry, I've tried to live the Christian life, and it seems like every time I take 3 steps forward, something happens and knock me 5 steps backwards. Just about the time I get going pretty good, wham, something will happen and I'll fall flat on my face. Let me tell you something. You are not, listen to me, let me give you this. Falling does not make you a failure. Not getting back up is what makes you a failure. Let me say that again. Falling does not make you a failure. Not getting back up is what makes you a failure. And in Peter's defense, Peter failed while trying. Peter always tried to learn a lesson from every failure. Number three, the one thing I like about Peter is Peter got back up after every failure. Now, I'm here to encourage you. Listen to me. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. Now, listen, if you're like most of us, this is not a smooth journey. You start all the way over here, and you head towards maturity. You try to grow in grace. You're trying to do what God wants you to do. And you know what you'll find? It's just about the time you get confident and think you have it, wham, right down on your face you'll end up. You'll end up down on the ground. You'll end up face flat on the ground like this, and you'll wonder what in the world hit you. And you know what? You're going to look around, and people are going to be looking, and sometimes it's very public, and people will be laughing, and you'll be humiliated. And you know what? The devil's going to be right there at that moment. And he's going to be telling you, quit. Listen, you can't do this. You're not cut out for this. You didn't have the right upbringing for this. This is for other people. It's not for you. Now listen, you can sit there in that squall. You can sit there and you can quit. You can raise the white flag, or you can turn around and head back to the world where you came from. But let me tell you something. You know what you need to do? You need to pull yourself back up. And you need to say, I don't know. Let me figure out what happened. And you know what? Okay, I know what I did wrong. And Lord, give me grace and give me strength. But people are talking. Let them talk. People say, I can't do it. Let them say that. As long as you stay down there, you're proving them right. Get up. Get up. So you get back up and you think, all right, I'm not going to do that again. That sure was stupid. That sure was stupid. Boom. Right down on the ground you go again. And let me tell you something. I'm just telling you, that's going to happen over and over and over and over again in life. It's not a one-time thing. You say, oh my goodness sakes, I'll be so glad when I'm out of my teenage years, because then I'll stop falling. Yeah, right. You know what? The minute everybody in this room turned 20, we never made another mistake. Boy, it was great. It's glad to have all that behind us. Never made another mistake. Good night. Listen, not only do you fall, but sometimes you fall farther and you fall harder. You know why? Because there's more at stake. There's more at stake. But let me tell you something, folks. Listen, Peter got back up after every failure. And I'm just here to give you some things this morning. Let me first of all say this. Number one, you are going to fall. I don't wish it. I don't want it. I try hard every day not to do it. But sooner or later, out of the blue, just when you think you're going good, you will fall. By the way, this verse doesn't say an evil man falleth seven times, rise up again. I'm talking about good Christians fall. I'm talking about sincere Christians fall. I'm talking about Christians that want to do right fall. I'm talking about Christians that are trying hard. I'm talking about Christians that read their Bible and pray. I'm talking about Christians that were raised in good homes. I'm talking about, listen, sometimes they just fall. They just fall. And by the way, you will too. And so will I. You know, if anything else, I think we ought to just learn. If there's only one lesson we got from this morning, this might be a good lesson. Why don't we just all be a little more patient with each other? Why don't we just all be a little more patient with each other? Because let me tell you something. You, me, and everybody else from time to time, we're going to fall flat on our face. Okay, number two. Falling, I said this already, but let me say it again. Falling does not make you a failure. Not getting back up is what makes you a failure. Hey, Brother Jerry, you want to give us seven times in your life? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. But I will say this. I could give you 70. I mean, I know what it is. I mean, just absolutely. Have you ever fallen where you didn't have a chance to get your hands in front of your face? I mean, the break the nose kind of fall, scraped up face kind of fall, where all of a sudden it happens so quick and so unexpectedly that, I mean, there's nothing you can do except just land hard. You ever been there in your Christian life? You ever been here in Christian life? Let me tell you something. When you find yourself at that point, remember this, falling does not make you a failure. Not getting back up is what makes you a failure. Let me give you another thing. The greatest test of your character is what you do when you fall. The greatest test of your character is what you do when you fall. Are you listening to me? There's been times when I've gone to God and complained so loud. There's been times I've gone to God and tried to say, you know what, this is for somebody else, it's not for me. You know what? I read a story where Jesus, I used to wonder about this, where Jesus is carrying the cross. He's going up Golgotha's hill. He took a fall. Hey, I'm going to tell you, for years that bothered me. That bothered me. Hey, wait a minute. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus. This is our example. I mean, if anybody ought to not fall, wait a minute. You know what I think he was teaching us? He was teaching us, listen, I want to show you what to do when you fall. By the way, folks, you examine that. We don't have time this morning. You go through the torture that he suffered before he took that walk up Golgotha Hill. It's a miracle of God that physically, it's a miracle of God that he made that trip. But you know what? When he fell, he got up. When he fell, he got up. The greatest test of your character is what you do when you fall. Young lady, are you listening to me? You say, oh, Brother Jerry, but everything's going good. I hope it always continues that way, but I can just tell you it's not gonna. There's gonna be something happen sooner or later, and you know what? You're gonna find yourself right on your face. I'm telling you, get up! Get up! Teenager, are you listening to me? I wish I never had to bring a teenager in my office. I wish I never had to look across the desk and cry tears with him. Wish I never had to ever have to see him face a tragedy or a failure, but you know what? That it's just unrealistic. It's just not going to happen. Sooner or later, it's gonna be your kid or my kid. Listen, sooner or later, it's going to be you or me. You see, the test of your character is whether or not you get up or not. See, the Bible says a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. You're not a bad Christian for falling. Did you listen to me? You're not a bad Christian for falling. You're a bad Christian for not getting up. Not a bad Christian because you fail. You're a bad Christian if you don't get up. Let me give you another thing to think about, church. Number one, you're going to fall. Number two, falling does not make you a failure. Not getting back up is what makes you a failure. Number three, the greatest test of your character is what you do when you fall. Number four, let me just give you this. Never kick a man while he's down. Never, 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 never kick a man while he's down. I'm going to tell you something. One man said this. He said, the Christian army is the only army on earth that kills its wounded. That's sad. That's a sad indictment against Christianity. Christianity is the only army in the world, someone said, who kills its own wounded. I don't think that's always true. But I tell you, I've seen it before, and sometimes it is true. Sometimes it is true. Never kick a man. Wouldn't that be a good, sensible thing to think, to do? You got a Christian brother or sister, and they take a fall, and what happens? Four or five brothers, and, you know, we've got too many Job friends, friends of Job. Poor Job goes through a horrible thing in his life. What happens? Three guys, actually four guys, but three guys that do most of the talking, three men come around. You know what they spend almost the entire book of Job doing? Trying to convince him that he's nothing but a wicked, rotten person or none of this stuff would ever happen to him. And that, a lot of times, what happens in Christianity. I knew it. Let me tell you why that happened. I'll tell you what I know. I'll tell you what. I've seen that coming. I'll tell you what. Boy, we sit up there in our, like a bunch of Pharisees, and point down at somebody that's on the ground and get around a little circle and kick them and kick them and kick them and kick them. What in the world's wrong with those? I'm talking to Blessed Hope Baptist Church for a minute here. Let me just talk to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, listen, we're a church family here. We're a family. Are you listening to me? We're a family. There's going to be some bad things happen. There's going to be some people go through hard times. There's going to be mistakes made. There's going to be times when people just fall flat on their face. Now, listen, you've got to decide what kind of a Christian you're going to be when that happens. And you ought to decide in advance. You ought to decide this morning what kind of Christian you're going to be. Because it didn't take any skill. It doesn't take any Christianity or Christ-likeness to kick somebody when they're down. But it takes Christianity to kneel down beside somebody that's down and try to help them up. So don't kick a man when he's down. Number five, great success often comes at the price of many falls. Boy, I want you to get this. Great success often comes at the price of many falls. If Peter was made aware later on that there was an opening in a church, and he went there to apply for the job of pastor, and they said, well, let me have you fill out your resume. And he wrote down, tried to walk on water, didn't work out real well. Stood up and rebuked Christ, got called Satan. Number three, Jesus tried to wash my feet and I wouldn't let him. When he rebuked me, I told him to give me a bath. I just didn't get it that day. Bad day. Number four, went to prayer meeting with Jesus. Oh, don't be too impressed. I fell asleep. Number five, Jesus was going to be crucified, but I decided he shouldn't, so I pulled my sword and chopped this guy's ear off. Jesus rebuked me and then healed the guy's ear. Number six, denied Jesus three times, parentheses. By the way, I was cursing and swearing while I was doing it. Number seven, quit the ministry. Then he turns the application in. And the pulpit committee goes, Well, brother, we'll pray about this, and then we'll give you a call. Listen, don't call us. We'll call you. By the way, somebody that's already decided, you know, you've picked out two or three of these teenagers around here and you've already decided they ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. Let me tell you, they may not. But you know what? The ones that fail the most may be the ones that know the most about not how to fail. I mean, it's all how they want to deal with it. Listen, don't count someone out when they fall. Don't write them off. Because let me tell you how Peter ended his ministry, all right? You say, Brother Jerry, he sank, all right, but he did walk on water. And when Jesus Christ asked, whom say ye that I am? It was Peter who answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by the way, because of that, he got to become the first pope, which is very exciting. Just kidding about that, just kidding. I'm just kidding about that, all right? Number three, don't count someone out when they fall. It was Peter who Christ chose along with James and John as the disciples of the inner circle. I guess Jesus didn't know what he was doing. Why is he choosing a failure? Number four, it was Peter who was allowed to see the glory of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Are you listening to me? It was Peter who raised John to the empty tomb and was one of the first to see the resurrected Lord. It was Peter who led the prayer meeting in the upper room after Christ's ascension. It was Peter who preached the great sermon on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. It was Peter who, along with John, was used to see a lame man walk in Acts chapter 3. It was Peter who stood with boldness in front of the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 and declared of Jesus, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It was Peter who withstood Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. It was Peter who carried the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, winning Cornelius and all of his household to the Lord. It was Peter who God sent an angel to set free from prison in Acts chapter 12. It was Peter who was a clear voice of reason in the early church when they argued over issues of law and grace. And history tells us it was Peter who preached himself into a martyr's crown, opting to be crucified upside down because he did not feel himself worthy to die in the same manner that his Savior had died. Listen to me. Don't count somebody out just because they fall. Don't count them out. By the way, listen to me and we're done. None of these wonderful things would have happened if Peter hadn't been willing to get back up. Seven times in a row he falls. But you know what? Every time he fell, he got back up. And you know what? Because of that, because he learned some lessons along the way, and because he didn't listen to the naysayers, and because he grew in grace, and because he had some tenacity. Where's that in this generation? Some tenacity. He just said, you know what, I'm going to serve this thing out. All of a sudden, opportunities began to come his way, and doors began to open, and God's power began to fall, and the fullness of the Spirit came upon him. I'll tell you why all these things happen. You know why? Because a just man fell seven times, but rose up again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Apostle Peter's life verse. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again. Are you listening to me, Christian? Are you listening to me? Have you fallen? Brother Jerry, I'm not doing very good right now. Brother Jerry, some things have happened. Brother Jerry, I've been humiliated. Brother Jerry, some very public things have happened. Brother Jerry, I'm down on the ground right now. Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! I don't have the strength to get up. Do you have the strength to walk to an altar this morning? You have the strength to get on your knees and cry out for help for Almighty God? Because let me tell you something. That's where you'll get the strength and the power to get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Oh, Brother Jerry, God's done with me. He's not going to use me. I've done this, that. Get up. Those are lies of the devil. Get up. Yeah, but people are saying this. Get up. Yeah, but I've humiliated myself and humiliated the name of Christ. Get up! Get up! Get up anyway! Get up! Get up! Yeah, but I don't have any testimony left. Get up! Let God give you a testimony again. Tell you something. Let me tell you. You're not listening to some preacher who's never made mistakes or never been there. You're listening to somebody that's fallen time and time again. And listen to me. By the grace of God, listen, I'm giving you a very simple formula for success. Here's the formula for success. Get up one more time, then you fell down. That's it. That's the big secret. That's the big giant secret. Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts. God, help somebody this morning. Help somebody this morning. Or Lord, maybe you can speak to the heart of someone to help somebody else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.